Hello, and welcome to Tales for Life. In each episode of this podcast, we'll explore a folk or fairy tale from a different culture or region and discover the life lessons, values, and morals they offer that we can use today. Join me on the journey through the magical and meaningful world of folk and fairy tales. Welcome back, story lovers, to another episode of Tales for Life, the podcast that journeys through life one tale at a time. There's a Japanese saying that goes, "We're fools whether we dance or not, so we might as well dance." So, let's dance together on this episode that I've titled, "We Might as Well Dance." Life is not a bed of roses. That is, it's not all sunshine, unicorns, and white puffy clouds. Fundamental to living is taking chances, making mistakes, and, more often than we want it to happen, looking silly. So a lot of us, rather than risk taking a chance, pull back. We don't take chances. We run from challenges and obstacles. We flee in terror from the possibility of making a mistake. And, as a result, we never truly live. There's a saying attributed to American businessman Malcolm Forbes that goes, "Those who never get carried away should be." More bluntly put, if you never let yourself get caught up in the moment and enjoy it, you're wasting space. Does that mean you're going to make mistakes? Absolutely. Does that mean you're sometimes going to look silly? Definitely. But that's okay. In fact, sometimes being a little silly, or even a lot silly, is what we need. Because some of the greatest accomplishments in the history of the world are from people who weren't afraid to make a fool of themselves. It's somewhat ironic that my favorite story on this topic comes from Japan, a place not necessarily known for people who act silly. But that just goes to show how important a topic this is, that a society known for being reserved takes the time to put this lesson in a folk tale. This particular version is a retelling based on a Japanese children's song from the 1920s. In Japan, the story is titled Shōjōji Tanuki Bayashi. In English, it's titled The Tanuki Band of Shōjōji Temple. The little temple of Shōjōji had fallen on hard times. It was surrounded by mountains, the mountains were covered with forest, and the forest were full of the badger dogs, which are known in Japan as tanukis. At night, the tanukis would come down to the temple and run wild, causing all sorts of mischief. They especially loved to dance in the garden, beating on their tummies like drums. Thanks to these tanukis, no priest would stay long at Shōjōji, and with no one to take care of it, the temple was falling apart. One day, a famous priest heard about what had happened to Shōjōji and said, "What a shame. I'll have to go down there and straighten things out." When he got to the temple after a long journey, the priest was astonished by how run down it was. "It's even worse than they said," he thought as he settled in. That night, the tanukis in the forest heard the priest chanting his sutras inside the temple. How long it had been since they'd heard that sound. It was like music to the tanukis' ears, since they loved nothing more than to drive priest crazy. They looked at each other and grinned. The leader of the tanukis called them all together to discuss how they would run the new priest out of the temple. "You there, Ponta and Ponko," he said, "give him the regular treatment." "Yes, sir." Ponta and Ponko began spinning around and around, and in a trice they had changed into something completely different, as tanukis sometimes do. "Good show," said the leader. "Now go and scare the living daylights out of him." Back at the temple, just as the priest finished chanting, Ponta snuck up from behind and tapped him on the shoulder. The old priest turned around to see a Hitotsume Kozo, a little cyclops, staring at him with one big eye. "Aye!" screamed the priest. But before he had a chance to recover, a beautiful young lady walked into the room. It was really Ponko the Tanuki, of course. "Good evening, Father," she said. "Would you like some tea?" She held out a teapot and smiled, and as she did so, her neck began to stretch and stretch until it was as long and squirmy as a giant snake. "Oroku Rokubi." "Help!" cried the priest. He ran out of the temple gate, stumbling over the stone steps and down the road as fast as his legs could carry him. The rest of the tanukis, who had gathered in the temple garden to watch, split their sides laughing. One by one, they began to dance and pound on their tummies in celebration. They had succeeded in driving another priest from Shojoji. Now the next priest who dared to come to the temple was big and strong and mean. No sooner had he arrived than the tanukis were up to their tricks once more. But this time things were different. When Ponta showed up in the temple after changing into Hitotsume Kozo, the priest punched him in the nose. When Ponko arrived in the shape of Oroku Rokubi and started stretching her neck, the priest tied it in a knot.
"Ow! Ouch! Wah!" cried Ponta and Ponko, running back to the forest.
The leader of the tanukis thought things over. "We can't scare this priest by changing into spirits, I guess. Let's see. I've got it. We'll drum on our tummies all night long. Then the priest won't be able to get any sleep, and he'll have to leave." So later that night, pom pity pom pity pom pom pom. The priest had been fast asleep, but the loud drumming woke him. He got up and went to the door.
"Hey!" he shouted. "No playing in the garden!"
The tanuki scampered away, laughing, to hide in the shadows of the trees.
"Stop! Come back out in the open, you little devils! You can't make a fool of me and get away with it!"
The priest began chasing the tanukis around the garden, but they were much too fast for him. Finally, he tripped on a rock and fell against a stone lantern, bumping his head so hard that all he could see for the rest of the night was stars. The following day, the big strong priest packed his bags and left Shojoji, never to return. Next to arrive was a very shabby-looking priest dressed in old rags. He liked the dirty rundown temple as soon as he saw it and decided to stay. The tanukis, of course, held another meeting, and Ponta turned himself into a Hitotsume Kozo again. But when he went to the temple,
"Oh, what a cute little Hitotsume," said the shabby priest. "Here, have one of these rice dumplings."
Ponta was bewildered. He accepted a dumpling and trotted back to the forest. Now it was Ponko's turn. But when she came and stretched her neck, the priest only laughed and clapped his hands.
"That's great," he said. "How did you do that? Here, let's have a drink."
The priest poured out a glass of sake for Ponko. The tanuki leader was shocked when he heard how Ponta and Ponko had been treated. "If that's the way it is," he said, "there's only one thing left to do." That night, no sooner had the priest fallen asleep than he was awakened by a great hubbub in the garden. He got up, went to the door, and looked out to see dozens of tanukis thumping their bellies.
"Gee," said the priest, "that looks like fun. May I join you?"
He ran outside and began pounding his stomach along with all the astonished tanukis. They had never run into a priest like this before.
Pock, picky, pock, picky, pock, pock, pock.
The sound the priest's stomach made seemed strange to the tanukis. They thought it was funny.
"Hee-hee-hee, listen to that!"
When he realized the tanukis were laughing at him, the priest only tried all the harder.
"That's enough," the tanuki leader finally told him. "You'd better rest a while before your tummy explodes."
But the priest wouldn't hear of it. He kept trying to get a better sound. Before long, he began to stagger, and soon he collapsed on the ground.
See, didn't I tell him? Said the leader. We'd better carry him into the temple before he catches his death of cold. So the tanukis, who had intended to drive the priest away, ended up looking after him. The man's simple, friendly nature had won them over. The next morning, the priest woke up and said, Funny, I don't remember coming back to bed last night. Let's see, I was out in the garden pounding on my belly. Oh well, that's neither here nor there. The main thing is to improve my tummy thumping. The priest lost no time in starting to practice. It's not just a question of how hard you hit your stomach. There's a certain knack to it. Maybe if I cup my hands. He practiced all morning. Then he ate a quick lunch and went right back to his training. What determination! That night, the shabby-looking priest joined the tanukis in the garden again. They had a wonderful time, drumming away for all they were worth in the light of the full moon. Pom, pity, pom, pity, pom, pom, pom. The priest was very good now, and the tanukis weren't about to be outdone. Don't let him show you up, shouted the leader, who was beating his own stomach so hard that it began to swell up frightfully. In his excitement, however, he scarcely noticed and continued drumming until... BAM! The leader's stomach exploded. He fell over backwards and lay there moaning. Oh, this is terrible. Medicine. Bring some medicine. The shabby priest hurried into the temple and came back with a jar of salve. He rubbed it on the leader's stomach and asked, How do you feel? The tanuki smiled up at him and said, I'm much better now, thank you. Let's get on with the show. A one, a two, a ow, ow, ow. He was ready to continue, but his stomach wasn't. You'd better take it easy for a month or so, said the priest. Try to hold out till the next full moon. Okay, everybody, are you ready? Yay! Shouted all the tanukis. The leader sat on a rock and watched while the jolly priest and the rest of the tanukis drummed the night away. And they say that even now, the tanukis gather in the garden of Shojoji and drum on their tummies whenever the moon is full. This story might be aimed at children, but honestly, the lessons are just as relevant for us grown-ups too. Let's break it down real quick. First, it's all about how you handle tough situations. You could be like the first priest, running away from your problems and getting nowhere fast. Or you could channel the second priest, charging forward with anger, making some progress, but eventually tripping yourself up. Then, there's the third priest, who embraces life's ups and downs and takes things as they come, with a good attitude. Just like the story, guess which one works out best in the long run. Now, let's be real. Not every challenge in life is a walk in the park. Like the priest, you have to put in the effort. But when you approach the grind with a little curiosity and a sense of excitement about the journey, it makes everything far more enjoyable. And here's the other nugget from the story. Having fun is key. Dale Carnegie nailed it when he said, People rarely succeed unless they have fun in what they're doing. Sure, life isn't all fun and games, but neither is fun and games. Even so, if you're not finding any joy in the process, you're not going to stick with it long enough to see the results. More bluntly put, you're not going to succeed unless you're finding something enjoyable about getting there. So, whatever you're working on, whether it's your job, your passion, or just life in general, make sure there's something about it that lights you up. You will fall short sometimes, and you're likely to feel a little silly along the way at others. Just don't let the fear of failing or looking foolish stop you. Keep going. Success isn't just about reaching the finish line. It's about learning to enjoy the journey on the way there. At the heart of every great story and every great life are challenges, triumphs, and the moments in between that teach us who we are. When we embrace the journey with an open mind and a light heart, we discover joy even in the hard parts and meaning in the everyday. So go ahead, take the leap, laugh at the stumbles, and savor every step of the way. That is, just dance. Thanks for coming along with me today, and I'll see you next time on Tales for Life.